Right now, it's our Democrat of the day, Senate District 48, just out to the south and west of the metro area. Waconia, Chaska, as well, Cologne is in there, Victoria. Dan Kessler is kind enough to join us. He is running for the DFL in Senate District 48 and kind enough today to talk about his campaign. Dan, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Thanks so much, Matt, for having me on.
My pleasure. Let me ask you this, just with the storms we had last night, any major damage? I know there was a lot of coverage of out in the west where those storms came through. Anything bad happen to you guys out there?
Not that I saw. I saw a lot of tree branches down. Didn't see a lot of damage in my neighborhood on my drive to work over in Shakopee this morning.
So, well, good. I hope it was not too severe out there, as it is that time of year. We'll start seeing those storms running on through. We talked to you. You ran for a House seat. Now you've decided to run for the a Senate seat here. Let's start there. What was your deciding factor that you wanted to run for the Senate now?
Well, I was super excited to see where this district has gone. The Senate District 47, previous one, was a fairly solidly Republican district. But this whole area is just so rapidly growing. The district moved a bit to the east. We traded some fairly red areas out on the west end of Carver County for the remainder of Chanhassen. As a one city you didn't mention at the beginning, all of Chanhassen is now part of District 48 and is joined in with Chaska, Waconia, and Victoria, along with some of the smaller towns, Cologne and Mayer. So that district has shifted from a fairly solidly red district to a real toss-up district that went for Joe Biden by 1 point and had a lot of ticket splitters on the down-ballot races. So it's a favorable district, and it's one we really need to flip if we're going to take the Senate in order to make the changes we need to make in 2022.
And you, as you talk about there are a few Senate districts I looked at and I said, wow, that becomes a problem for the Republicans. Waconia itself, and that used to be kind of the base of that district. I know a lot of DFLers that have moved out to Waconia and they just commute to the southwest side of town. It really is changing. There's a lot of people, a lot of DFLers that have been moving in there. Chaska is adorable and cute. Chanhassen, I've got a lot of friends that live over in the Chanhassen area. This is an area which it's going to become harder and harder for the Republicans to hold this seat. I think you got a really good chance this election cycle.
I think so too, Matt. And as we look over the last 10 years, what we see is Eden Prairie, which had been red,
yeah,
and then got purple, is now fairly blue. We see the same thing happening with Minnetonka. And there, this is a progression that's just continuing west. Seat 48B, which is Chaska and which half of Chaska and all of Chanhassen, that House seat, that one's now a really significant lean blue seat. We're going to take that seat for the House, and the Senate district keeps on moving. So this is a really, really good year for us.
I agree with you. And as we look at this district and the change here, I think one of the first things that has to be addressed if you're championing this district is you got to look at the growth, because you got to have, it's one thing to have a lot of people move out to the area because they're discovering how cute it is, how nice it is. It's a great place to live, but you have to, if you're going to have people moving out there, you got to make sure that the roads and the infrastructure, everything like that, stays up to pace so that things are not overwhelmed.
Oh, absolutely. I moved out to this district almost 20 years ago. And when I moved to Chaska, getting into the cities, I turned down a job opportunity in the cities because it was just, darn near impossible to get in there with any reasonableness. 212 was finished a couple of years later, and now it's a half-hour buzz in the city. I will go out to St. Paul once a week for my work. And it's become much, it brings Chaska, Chanhassen, and all of this district much closer to the Twin Cities if people do want to get in there. Looking forward to when they complete light rail, and continuing to make sure that our roads we continue to work on that infrastructure so folks can get around the area.
Yeah, my kids go to Hopkins. So, Chaska, I remember when I went to a school in Edina in the 80s. I know, don't give me any crud. But I went to Edina in the 80s, and I remember we went out and played a game in Chaska, and it felt like we were going all the way to South Dakota at that time. Now it's like we have constantly, it is so much better connected to the city. We have games down there all the time, and that's just 212 is fantastic. That's a hop, skip, and a jump, and you're right down the highway. And with that, what do you get? You get that great development that comes along the way, And I will give credit to Chanhassen and to Chaska. They're doing it right on that 212 split, that 212 interchange, because it really is. It makes a very inviting community.
Yeah, and the growth out here is just popping.
Oh yeah,
it really is. In fact, the district I ran in before, 47B, all of that has been encompassed in the new 48. So probably about 2/3 of the voters I spoke with back in 2020 when I was running for that House seat are now in 48. And we had to trim off a whole lot of the western areas and a lot of parts of this in order to get the district down to size because it had grown so much.
I don't know if you heard the first hour. We actually were talking. The Republicans right now at their convention are having a discussion about decertifying the log cabin Republicans as a recognized affiliation organization within the Minnesota GOP. They're actually having Glenn Gruenhagen's wife apparently is leading this charge with the state central committee. This is something you on your website, you talk about you're an ally for LGBTQ rights as you've been fighting for them. This is become very plain and clear. There's one side. It's the Republican side, which is against these people. And the DFL is for them and for equal rights.
Absolutely. And it's an incredibly frustrating situation as a DFLer. You know, what we're trying to do is reach out to everyone. Invite people to join our party, invite people to be part of this party and move our state forward. The idea that you would exclude people because they disagree with you rather than bring them in and have good, vigorous debate, I don't understand it. I really don't. It doesn't make the slightest bit of sense to me.
Well, and as well, I mean, it's kind of one of those things where I guarantee you your opponent's not going to want to talk about this issue because, I mean, one of the reasons why in 2012 that anti-gay marriage amendment failed in this state was because the Republicans didn't seem to understand that most people don't. I mean, they know people who are gay. They know people who are lesbians. They know people that are of alternate lifestyle, and they don't want to be the face of someone telling them you're a second class citizen. And here we are once again with Republicans, you know, I think especially with the bravado they have after the Roe v. Wade ruling that was leaked last week. They're feeling like now it's time to get rid of all these things and turn America back to the 1940s, where the Republicans regulated who you can love and what you could do in your own private bedroom.
Yeah, it's what is happening with that party over the last few years, and it's accelerating. We haven't seen the Supreme Court ever overrule themselves when it comes to taking away rights. They've overruled themselves when it comes to recognizing that, hey, we were wrong before. We need to extend these rights to people that we failed before. And now we're seeing in this leaked decision, first time the Supreme Court is rolling back rights. And in that decision, they've signaled that they're willing to roll back other rights like marriage equality. And they've made it very clear, Alito made it very clear that he's open to rolling back marriage equality, which is one of the reasons why we need to codify that. Mm-hmm. The anti marriage equality amendment failed, but we don't have right now codified in Minnesota law that right, and that needs to be part of our laws so that if a Supreme Court decision is handed down, there's no question that if you love someone, you can marry them.
Dan Kessler is joining us. Senate District 48 is Democrat of the day. Dan, your district has some of the best apple orchards, and if not the best apple orchard. I've been out to Waconia a few times. I enjoy going out there. It is one of those truly unique districts. You have very suburban quality of life on the east side. You've got a lot of agrarian farms out there. You got a lot of people that are working on the farms. Talk a little bit about that, because you know obviously with this district you're representing both sides of that same coin.
Yeah, and we have to support our farmers. And first off, we don't have one of the best apple orchards. We've got with the University of Minnesota's program out here.
Yes, you do. You do, actually. Yeah. That's in the upper.
And that's just, I have to object to one of the best. This is worldwide the top class, right? We're done there. All right.
You are right. No, you are right. I was wrong. The apple. Okay. You guys have great apples out there. I do. You can ask Patrick here. Every fall, I go crazy for apple picking. I do love it. So you are correct.
I appreciate that. But, you know, one of the things, and there's a whole lot we can do for farmers, but one of the things that I'm really baffled by, Democrats have proposed a right to repair bill. You buy something, you should be able to fix it. This is a real problem where farmers buy a piece of farm equipment, a tractor, and they can't fix it. They've got to take it into the dealership. They can't fix it themselves. So a bill's been proposed for the right to repair for farmers and also for regular folks who own iPhones and other products that right now lock them down. And I've not yet figured out why it is that the Senate hasn't taken that bill up and why Republicans are against it. Because it doesn't make any sense to me for a person not to have the right to work on, fix, and repair the things that they purchase. And that's just one small way, but there's a whole lot of ways we can help our farmers. That's one thing I think we can get done almost immediately.
You bring up as well a major tentpole of your campaign is cannabis, talking about that policy. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is something that it is ludicrous. We're getting to the point where we have so many states, and yet it still is not something we can address here. Talk a little bit about that and what your policies and where you want to go with legalizing cannabis.
Well, again, this is an area where if you ask Minnesotans, if you poll Minnesotans, Democrats and Republicans both agree on this issue. Now, more Democrats are for cannabis legalization than Republicans, for sure. But a majority of people who identify either party, are in favor of cannabis legalization. What we know about this, we look at states where they've legalized it, there haven't been any significant problems of the type that sort of the naysayers are talking about. If you look at Colorado, about 20% of people actually use cannabis on a regular basis, but it holds about a 75% approval rating among the general population. So even those who don't use cannabis recognize that legalization has not been a problem. And if we have a product here that can be regulated and taxed, there's a real benefit to legalizing that. Now, on top of that, cannabis and marijuana, the war on drugs here has incredibly disproportionately fallen on black and brown people. And what we end up with is this mass incarceration system that's just incredibly harmful. And it has to be stopped. And that's part of marijuana legalization, is looking at the harm that's been done to so many by making this plant illegal. Mm-hmm. Doesn't make sense.
I should say also, your official title is doctor, and you're a psychologist. Dan, I would be remiss if we did not bring up the fact that something that you probably have a very incredible amount of insight into, and that's something we've talked about on the show for at least a year now. There is clearly a massive failure as far as mental health awareness and mental health facilities and capabilities in this country. We need an immediate infusion of money and resources to deal with this from all ages, from young to old. Talk a little bit about that, because that is something which I think is going to be a legislative fight for the next 10 years.
Yeah. So if anything good has come out of the pandemic, and I hesitate to even say that when we've lost a million lives in this country, what we recognized is that we can deliver healthcare differently. I see about 90% of the clients, patients I see about through telehealth, and it's incredibly popular. With that popularity, we've increased the shortage of mental health providers. The waits have gotten longer, and that's a huge problem. We have to do something to enhance the number of mental health care providers that are available. But an even more frustrating problem right now is that so many of the folks I see have to make a decision about whether or not they're going to get mental health care or health care because they won't be able to afford it because their deductible is $5,000 or their medication is $350 a month, even if they have insurance. So we can't just have a system where people have insurance. We have to have a system where people's health care insurance, where people's health care is affordable for them. Access isn't access if they can't afford to pay the bill. If they go bankrupt because they go see the doctor, and if they have to make the decision about whether to go to the emergency room, seek out mental health care, or health care in general, because it's a dollars and cents decision, that is not something we should be looking at in a civilized world at all, anywhere in the world, frankly.
It is. And yeah, I would agree with you wholeheartedly. I mean, it is, it's something that, you know, and even, and I will point out, there was the other day a bill that came through, the Republicans were even saying this. It's becoming such a glaring problem in our country that if we, and we don't deal with this, it is the impact of it, not just on health and mental health and individual families, but as the economy as a whole, the society as a whole, we really have a major issue in it. We are at the precipice. We can at least address this now. Or we can have to address it after a lot of bad things happen. And I agree. I think we have to put the infrastructure and the funding in place right now.
Yeah. And we know from lots of research that you spend a dollar on healthcare, you get that dollar back many times over.
Yep.
In terms of medical care, but also in terms of productivity, lost productivity, and general quality of life. It's not a cost thing. It's a benefit when you spend that money on mental health care.
Dan, this is a seat, as you said, this is a very winnable seat for the DFL, but it's going to take door knocking on every door. It's going to be taking more volunteers coming on out. It's a cute area, by the way. Go on out there. It's a lot of fun, especially come fall. There's apple orchards out there. Go out there. They're fantastic. But volunteers are needed. It is a larger district, too. So obviously donations, not for many things, including gas to reimburse you for driving around and seeing all the people in this district. If people would like to volunteer, donate, help out your campaign, what's the website they should go to?
KesslerForSenate.com. That's KESSLER, four, spell it out, FOR, Senate.com. And yes, we do have rural area out here, but we also have a lot of suburban areas. We've got townhouses. We have new apartment buildings. We have a lot of growth out here in the east end of the town. Some people can drive to door knock, but some people just walk from door to door to door. And we are not that far from the city. We're 25 minutes away from anywhere in the Twin Cities, at the most, unless you come out during rush hour, and don't do that.
I would highly recommend people go down and see the old historic Chaska part of town. Waconia is as cute as it gets. I even like Cologne. I've been out to Cologne a few times. It's a lovely part. So go on out there, visit the district, volunteer, help out your local DFLer. By all means, help them out. But if you're in a relatively safe DFL seat right now, this is a winnable seat, and this one seat would go a long way for the DFL to pick back up that Senate. So Senate District 48, Dan Kessler, KesslerForSenate.com, volunteer, donate. This is an easy layup for us. We should be able to win this seat. Doctor, I appreciate the time. All my best in your race, and I will see you in October out there, okay?
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
My pleasure. I'm going to call him. We're going to go apple picking. We're going to do that. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.